Today's shir is Masechta Sota Daf Ches. We will begin on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, the last words of the Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Malan I saw, they with the Mamar Tarani, if the woman said she's tar and she doesn't admit that she did anything wrong, says the Mishnah, Malan I saw, we would take her up to the Azara to begin the process of giving her to drink the Mei Sota. Ask the Gemara, how do we understand what the Mishnah says that we took her up to the Azara? Hasam Kaima, as we discussed in the previous year, the procedure of the Sota began in standing in the Lishkas Hagazos where the Bezdin of Shivim Ve'echad were, where the Bezdin of the 71 Dayanim were, and that was already in the Azara. So why was it needed to take her up to the Azara? Answers the Gemara, the Maskinan and Machsinan law. They first took her to the Bezdin Hagadol in the Lishkas Hagazos, and they went through the entire procedure that we discussed in our previous year. Then they took her back down to the Har Habayis, and then afterwards they took her back up to the Har Habayis, to the Shar HaMizrach, and this was done Kedei LaYaga, in order to tie her out that she should admit if she's guilty. The Tanya, as we did learned in the Brayse, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Bezdin Masinas Edim. Bezdin would make the Edim go from place to place. Edim, as we discussed in our previous year, who came to say testimony about a woman, about Dinei Nefashos. As we explained in our previous year, the Chazal were most concerned that they should say true testimony. So that's why they would tie them out, that they should tarav datan layim, that they should be honest. So Rashi explains, Mimakam Mamakam, they took them from one place to another place in the Harabayas to tie them out. The Rambam says that they didn't necessarily take them to travel from one place to another place, but rather means that they kept on asking them, Mimakam Mamakam, he says that they kept on asking them questions and bothering them to break them down to say the truth. We learned, then they took the Sota to the Shad Nikna, because we learned Shisham Mashkin Sotas. The Shad Nikna was the place where the Sotas would drink the water. Says the Rabishlaim, the Sotas, we understand why the halacha is that the Sota is given to drink the water by the Shad Nikna. The Ksib, because the Pasuk says in Parshas Nasai, in describing what is done with the Sota, says the Torah, V'hem and HaKoynes Yish Lefnei Hashem, the Sota stands Lefnei Hashem, and therefore Shad Nikner, as we explained in the previous shir, is a place that's perfectly facing the Shara Hashem. Mitzrayim Nami, we could also understand what a procedure with the Mitzrayim was done by the Shad Nikner, because there too, the Torah says regarding his procedure, the Ksiv, V'hem and HaKoyin HaMatar. But Yeledis, and we also learned the procedure of the Yeledis was done at the Shad Nikna, and asked the Gemara why. So Tosfos explains, what does it mean, Shisham Mashkim Sasaitis, that's where they did the procedure of the Saitis with Shad Nikna, that the Saita was standing inside the Azara by the Shad Nikna, and actually, Tosfos says, the Kohen was not standing inside, because he explains that the Pasuk said that we just learned, V'hem and HaKoyin HaSe'ish L'fnei Hashem, that the woman has to be standing L'fnei Hashem, V'ein HaKoyin L'fnei Hashem, but that isn't the halacha that applies to the Kohen. And as the Brisker Rav explains, that if the Kohen is not obligated to, the Kohen is not obligated to stand L'fnei Hashem. Of course, says the Brisker Rav, if the Kohen wanted to also stand inside, he would be allowed to. The Rashi explains why is the Shad Nikna called Lefnei Hashem. So Rashi explains because that was the main gate where they entered and exited the Azara. Another Pshat Rashi explained in the Mishnah that it's interesting, from Al Gemara, the Mefarshim ask, it seems that the Shad Nikna is considered Lefnei Hashem. That's considered in the Azara. But actually, we normally learn that the Shad Nikna is not considered lifnei Hashem. So that's why the Divrei Shaul explains that that's exactly the question and the issue that Rashi is coming to address. And it says the Sefer Divrei Shaul that what Rashi is coming to say that it's called lifnei Hashem because it's the primary exit and entrance to the Beis Hamikdash, but it isn't the actual lifnei Hashem. It's not actually in the Azara. So now the question is asked the Gemara, why were the Yeledes, her procedure done there? If we're going to learn that the reason is because they have to stand there, because that's where they need to be there when their carbon is being brought. We know that when a Yeledes finishes the 40 days by a boy and the 80 days by a girl, she brings carbonus. And when she brings, in order that she should be able to eat kachim, in order to be able to enter the Harabayas. And we know the halacha is, as the Braisa teaches us. Ein karbanis shel adam karev, a person's carbon is not brought. Elm ken oimer al gabov, unless they're standing there when the carbon is brought. And since the Yeledes, till she brings the carbon, as we just said, cannot actually go into the Azara, so this is the perfect place where to stand. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, the halacha ought to be ihachi zavim v'zavas nami. The same halacha should be regarding a zav and a zava, that after they become to the degree of a zav and a zava, that they have to bring a carbon. But of course, they too may not enter the azara as long as their kabbanis weren't brought. So why don't we have that their kabbanis are brought in the azara, that they also stand by the Shah Nikner as their kabbanis are brought? Answers the Gemara Anechanami. Indeed, the halacha applies by Zava and Zava as well, that's where they should stand as their carbon is brought. Just for Tana Chadam and Ayin Nakat, the Tana only spoke about one of the cases of a Mechusri Kapana, which is the Yeledes, but the halacha would apply by Zava and Zava as well. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan the Braisa teaches us, A mashkin shtei soitas kachas. We may not give two different soitas to drink at the same time. If we see two people drinking at the same time, one is indeed innocent and one is not innocent, but the one that's not innocent is not going to admit, as we so much want them to admit. She's not going to admit because the other one's not admitting. She won't admit either. The Ritva takes a different approach. The gross approach is that when you have people part of a community, one strengthens the other. So once there's another woman who's not drinking, who's not admitting, she won't want to admit either. Yudaimer, Leim Hashem Azeh. That isn't the reason why we don't give two soitas to drink at the same time. Rather, says Rabbi Yehuda, Ela Makra, says the Gemara, why is the Ela Makra? Because it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, Veshbiya Oysa HaKayin, Oysa teaches us Levada, that she herself drinks with no one else at the same time. So ask the Gemara, the Tanakhama that came up with an explanation, why doesn't he just quote the pasuk? The Tanakhama, Oksiv Oysa, answers the Gemara, Tanakama, who actually is the Tanakama? Rav Shimon. He, the Darsh Tam Dekra. Throughout Shas, we find that Rav Shimon is the one that explains what it says in the Torah. And the way to understand this Braisa is Ma Tam Kamer. Rav Shimon is explaining. Indeed, it is the Torah that tells us one soita, that we should only give one soita at a time. What the Gemara means to do here is explain why is that. Rav Shimon is explaining why is that the halacha. Ma tam, why does the Torah say oysa levada? Shlo yiliba gas b'chaverta, because we know if there are two people together, as we explained, she may not be prepared to mit. Where do we find Rav Shimon's opinion that he explains the tam of the crop? The Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Tezvav Amun Aleph, teaches us l'sachbed beged almana. One is not allowed to take the clothing of a almana as security, because explains Rabbi Shimon, because the halacha is if you take someone's security, the Torah says that you have to let them, if that's what they need to live with or use, then you can't go back, you're going to have to return it. If it's something they need by day, you're going to have to return it to them every day. If it's something they need at night, you're going to have to return it to them every night. So if Shimon says, if that's the case, and therefore if men keep on coming to the Salmona's house, atamesia shame rabishkunasa, it could cause her reputation to get ruined that men are coming to her home. Therefore, says Rav Shimon, this halacha of leisach bet begel amana is only said by a woman who is poor, and they're going to have to return the security all the time. By a wealthy woman, we don't have that concern. So we see Rav Shimon is Dairish Tam, explains the Tam of the crop. So now we've had two explanations why we can't give a soita to drink at the same time. One is because of the pasuk says oisa, and the other reason is because we're concerned that if the other woman is going to not admit, she won't admit either. Ask them, my benayu, what's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? Says the Gemara, ik benayu recesses. What's the halacha when we see that she's scared? If we see that she's scared, that she's not being influenced by her friend, and since she's not influenced by a friend, then the halacha would be that we're allowed to give her to drink together with the other person as well. If, however, it's a gzeiros hakasuv oisa, then there's no point. So our Gemara says that recesses, that she's scared. And once she's scared, we know it's not her friend's behavior won't influence her. But the Rosh has a different girsa. The Rosh says recesses, because the Rosh says if one of them is frightened and the other one is not frightened, we haven't accomplished anything by letting them drink together. Only in a case, explains the Rosh, where Rosh Sosos Loshen Rabbim, where they're both frightened, that's when we don't need to be concerned. But says the Rosh, if only one of them is frightened, we still cannot let her drink with the other one. Ask the Gemara, Recesses Mi Mashkin, does that indeed teach us that if one of them, or two of them, as we just learned, are frightened, then we can let them drink together with someone else? But ask the Gemara, there's another consideration. And that is the consideration, we're never allowed to do two mitzvahs at the same time. And the Rishonim debate why. Tosfos explains the reason for ein oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. If somebody does two mitzvahs at the same time, it looks like the mitzvahs are a burden on him, and he's looking to try to get the mitzvah off his back, and just does two at the same time. Tosfos in Masechta Mayakotin, however, explains the reason for ein oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas is because we want a person to give doing the mitzvahs the proper attention. And if you're going to do two mitzvahs at the same time, you're not giving the mitzvahs the same the proper attention, each mitzvah separately. Tosfos says that this is a din derabbanan. But the mitzvah eisen actually says that we just quoted two different Tosfosin. They give two different explanations for the reason ein oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, and says the mitzvah eisen. If the reason is, as we learned, as Tosfos says here, mishum shenir lov kamasa, it looks like a burden, that is indeed a din derabbanan. But if the reason is that sheilibay ponui, that he should be able to concentrate on the mitzvah, then he says the halacha of ein oisin mitzvahs menachem mitzvahs is a deraisa. The Beis HaOitzer from Yosef Engel gives a different explanation why ein oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. He says we know that the halacha is oisin, that oisik b'mitzvah, if somebody's involved in a mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, he doesn't have to do another mitzvah. So explains the Beis HaOitzer, if somebody is doing one mitzvah, al pidin, halachically, he's not obligated to do the second mitzvah, and therefore he shouldn't do the mitzvah in that time. The Dvar Shmuel disagrees. And the Dvar Shmuel says that the only time we have the dispensation of Ein Oisim Mitzvah Potem and a Mitzvah is only if when I'm doing the first mitzvah, it becomes impossible for me to do the second mitzvah. But if it's a situation where I could do the two mitzvahs and they both can be done at the same time, says the Dvar Shmuel that there is no heter of Oisim Mitzvahs of Oisik Mitzvah, Potem and a Mitzvah. The Magen Avraham says that this rule of Ein Oisik Mitzvah Chavilas Chavilos only applies by mitzvahs that we're obligated to do. But in mitzvahs that we're not absolutely obligated to do, it's a mitzvah kiyumis. It's a mitzvah that if we do it, we are fulfilling a mitzvah. But it's not a mitzvah that we're obligated to do. There we don't say, ein oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. And the Machzor Shekel explains that the basis of the Magen Avraham's position, because the Magen Avraham says that, like Tosfos says, that when you do many mitzvahs at the same time, it's nirlof kamasui. It looks like they're a burden. So he says that's only a valid explanation if they're mitzvahs that I'm obligated to do. So if we have mitzvahs that I'm obligated to do and I do two at the same time, that looks like a burden. But if I didn't have to do the mitzvah altogether, that wouldn't be considered mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. So, ask the Karen Oira. The fact that we're saying that there's a concern of ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, says the Karen Oira, it seems that our Gemara is following the opinion of Shimon. That if Shimon says the reason is because we're concerned that one soita is going to encourage the other soita not to admit, and therefore, when we don't have that consideration, they should be able to drink together, comes the Gemara and says, but there's a new concern. The new concern is a mitzvah chavilas chavilas. So Karen Iris says, it seems that our Gemara is following the opinion of Rav Shimon, the Dorish Tam Dekra, that explains the Pasuk. And throughout Shas, we typically don't follow the opinion of Rav Shimon. We don't explain the Pasuk. We do what the Pasuk says, even if we don't explain it. So therefore, the Sefer Avodah Stavit explains that our Gemara even could go according to the Rabbanan. Because if we learn the Pasuk of Isa, means that we're not allowed to give them to drink at the same time when they're near each other. But if they're not near each other, the Gemara is saying, it seems that the Rabbanan would hold that you would be allowed to give them to drink at the same time. To which the Gemara is asking that even if they're not together, and therefore it's not a violation of the Pasuk of Isa, but ask the Gemara, there's still a concern of Ein Oisin Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. The Tanan, as the Mishnah actually teaches us, a mashkin shei soitus kachas. We can't give two soitus to drink the mei ma'orim at the same time. Ve'metarim shnei mitzorim kachas. We're not allowed to go through the purification, the tara process of two mitzorim at the same time. Ve'roitz shnei avadim kachas. If two avadim are eved ivri, we know that the term of an eved ivri is 6 years. But if they want to remain longer, as the Torah teaches us in Parashat Mishpatim, v'lokach adonav, the owner takes him and makes a hole in his ear. We shouldn't do two at the same time. Ve'en orfen shtei golos kachas, we're not allowed to do arifas agola if a corpse is found between two cities. Le'noida mi'uko, we didn't know who is the murderer. So we go through the arifas agola process. Lefisha en oisin, mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. So the Gemara is asking, we have now a new concern of ein oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. What are we going to go with that? Amar Abaya, v'tamer Rav Kahana, loy kasha. Kan, the braisa that says that we can't do two soitas at the same time because of the concern of mitzvahs chavilas chavilas is referring to a situation of kain echad, where there's one kain administering the entire procedure. That's when we have a concern of chavilas chavilas. The Kan, our Gemara is talking about shnei kahanim. So since we're talking about shnei kahanim, then there's no problem of mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, but they are the other considerations that we learned in our Gemara. The Gemara just taught us that there's a difference when there's one kohen giving the water versus when there are two kohen. And Tosfos explains that if there are two kohanim administering this procedure, there's no concern of ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, since each kohen is occupied with only one mitzvah. But if there's only one kohen, then Tosfos says there would be a new concern of ein oisim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. And as Tosfos explains, even though we're giving each soita to drink separately, but having them lined up with one kohen doing the first Saita, then going on that same Kohen doing the second Saita, it has the appearance that the Kohen is looking to finish doing the first mitzvah. He's not doing it with the proper kavana. He's doing it in a rushed manner to get to the second Saita. The Rambam, as the Magen Avraham explains, actually explains the Gemara differently than Tosfos. The Rambam says that the rule of Ein Oysa Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas means that two mitzvahs may not be done at the same time, whether they're done by one Kohen or two Kohanim. So therefore, says the Rambam, that the concern that our Gemara says that under certain circumstances there's a concern of Ein Oysa Mitzvahs Chavilas would only be when two Kohanim are doing the Avodah. Because doing it at the same time, it looks like Chavilas Chavilas. But if one Kohen is doing it, so the one Kohen is doing each Saita separately. Since the one Kohen is doing each Saita separately, there's no concern for Chavilas Chavilas. And as the Chasam Sofer explains, there's no way that one Kohen could give two Saitas to drink the May Saita simultaneously. Because as we've been learning in our Gemara, before you give the Saita the water to drink, you have to go through an entire procedure. And since you have to go through that entire procedure, each Saita is being done separately. And therefore, if it's being done by one Kohen, says the Rambam, as explained by the Magen Avraham and the Chasam Sofer, that's not a consideration of Ein Oysa Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. Based on this Gemara, the Magen Avraham teaches us there are a number of issues that are negeya, that are relevant when we have to do a bris milah of two children. He says if there are two children that have to have a bris milah in the same shul by the same mohel, if we follow Tosfos' opinion of Ein Oysa Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, the second child should not be brought to shul before the first child's bris milah is completely finished. But according to the Rambam, if we have two children having bris milah with one mohel, and each mohel, of course, is going to do the milah on each child separately, so according to the Rambam's interpretation, there wouldn't be a problem in Ein Oysa Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. So according to Tosfos, the way you could have the two children at the shul at the same time, if you have two separate mohelim. However, according to the Rambam, even if you're going to have two separate mohelim, the Rambam says if they're both doing it at the same time, that is a violation of Ein Oysa Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. When Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos, we take out two Sifrei Torah from the Aron Kodesh. One is for the Parshas HaShavuah, and one is for Rosh Chodesh. The Gra says that the minig is not, that we take out the two Sifrei Torah is contrary to what the Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi says the Gra, that the second Sefer Torah should not be taken out from the Aron Kodesh until the first Sefer Torah is returned because of the concern of Ein Oysa Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. The Magen Avraham says that the Yerushalmi, which says that taking out the two Sefer Torah that we're going to read from is a violation of Ein Oysa Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, follows the approach of Tosfos. However, says the Magen Avraham, the Shulchan Aruch follows the opinion of the Rambam, that there's no Isser of Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas when you have something lined up in a line. And therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, explains the Magen Avraham, and that is our minig, that we take out the two Sifrei Torah at the same time, even though we're going to read for one, and only after we finish reading from the first one will we read from the second one. We learned in the Mishnah of a Kohen Oichas Bebegada, the Kohen holds on to a clothing until he rips them that she's exposed and her hair is exposed. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk says, "Upares Rosh Isha." If I only have the pasuk, I would know that we have to uncover a hair. Gufa minayin. How do we know that her body is also exposed? Tamalayma ha'isha. Says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara. Imke ma tamalayma pares roish. The Torah should have said upares ha'isha. And we know that everything, her hair and her body, have to get exposed. Says the Gemara. Melamed what the pasuk is coming to teach us by saying upares roish is isha. Melamed shekain soisa sara. Then not only does he take off the covering that she may have on her hair, but if the hair is not as tied together, braided together, he undoes the braiding. We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Aimeh Mahayaliba, if she was nice looking, then they didn't do it. And as we explained in the Mishnah, in our previous year, Rabbi Yehuda explained, we're concerned that if she's nice looking, it will make cause the people to have improper thoughts. Says, ask the Gemara, Lememri Rabbi Yehuda Chayesh Lahura, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for what kind of thoughts may happen here. Rabbanon, Loi Chayeshin, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, by a nice looking woman, don't do this. And the Rabbanon say, we may do so. Ask the Gemara, however, haven't we learned just the opposite? The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, when skila is administered, says the Brisa, ish mechasen perik echad, mufanav, when a man is stoned, they cover the front of his body, they cover his private parts. Hisha, and when a woman is stoned, pnei prokim, we cover two parts, echem alfanev, echem alchareah, the front and the back, neshekula erva. Even the woman's private area in the back is considered an area. It's considered an ever. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The Chum Raimrim, Ish Niskal Orim. The Chum say a man could be stoned even when he's not wearing any clothing. V'ein ish niskal saruma. We have to cover her. So we see that when the Rabbi Yehuda speaks about the stoning, he's not concerned about the woman's dress, and the Chum are concerned. And that's why they say we should stone the woman while she's still dressed. Just the opposite of their opinions in our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hachatamamai. What is the reason why Rabbi Yehuda says that the woman should not be uncovered when we do the Saita procedure? Because we are concerned. Shema Teitzim Bezdin Zakosh. She may be indeed proven to be innocent. And people have seen her undressed, and what's going to happen is the Yizgrabah Perchekuda, the young Kohanim who saw her undressed, will remember this woman without clothing. And I saw that the Rishonim say it's not just the young Kohanim. The reason the Gemara mentions the Perchekuhuna is because they are the people who are typically in the Azara. It means anybody who was in the Azara and saw her in the state of undress. Hasam, but when we're killing the woman, Mistalka, she's going to be dying. And therefore, this concern doesn't exist, that people, when they see her, will remember her in a state of undress. But ask the Gemara, the Chitayim Asalechonese, indeed, this woman that's being stoned won't be seen again undressed. She's unfortunately passing away. But there are other women, and by seeing this woman undressed, won't that cause problems with other women? Hamar Rava, the Rebbe said, we don't have to be concerned by that, because you only have to be worried about what the woman that she saw. The woman that they didn't see, we don't have to see. Says the Gemara, Elba Masha Ein Avrois. The halacha is the reality is you only have to worry about something that they actually saw. The Ben Yayada says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person's eyes with the pupil that's black and the white that's round. He says black always represents darkness, bad, as the Pasuk says, L'choshech kor laila, which is the Yetzirah. With our eyes, we could see black. We could see things that we're not supposed to see. And with our eyes, we could see white. We could see things that are appropriate to see. Amarava. So that's why the Gemara now has successfully explained the difference between men and women. But ask the Gemara the difference between Saita and Skila, and has answered the opinion and has explained the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. But ask the Gemara, Amarava, Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, was there only a question in understanding the opinion of Yehuda? The Rabbanan like Kasha, there was no question understanding the opinion of Yehuda. Ella Amarava. Rabbi Yehuda Loikasha, we've successfully explained why Rabbi Yehuda's opinion can be understood. Rabbanan Nami Loikasha, there's no problem with the opinion of Rabbanan. Hachatamamai, why by the Saita is the halacha that you uncover her? and we're not worried about people seeing, because the pasuk says in Yecheskel, "Mishum v'nevasru kol anoshim." We want other women to take lesson from this saita, not to act inappropriately. And as the Yishalmi explains, even though there is indeed a concern that maybe by seeing her unclothed, all the terrible things could happen, but the lesson of what's going to happen if you act improperly is a more important lesson. And as the Yishalmi goes on to say, even though we don't know for sure that she is tamei, aval hasam, but when it comes to killing her, there ein l'cha yisa gol mizah. She's already getting punished by being killed, and that is the best lesson. We don't have to add any more. By unclothing her. The lesson that people will have has been taught already. The pasuk says, we say it every day, so the question that the Sefer Cheshev Sofer asks, that we're learning that we only have to be concerned about the Yetzirah, something that we see. And if that's the case, shouldn't the pasuk have said, the first we see something inappropriate, and that sight causes us to think thoughts that we're not allowed to think. So he answers that indeed, the way it works is first you see, and that causes you to think. Says the Gemara, if somebody is careful, that doesn't look at what he's not supposed to look, the Torah says that such a person will have no problem. But how does a person come to be that type of a person, that he doesn't look at what he's not supposed to look? To which the pasuk says, if you want to put yourself into that category, you should be a person that purify your heart, act appropriately, and make it your mission that you will not look at what you're not supposed to look. And once you behave in such a fashion, then you won't have anything to worry about. V'chitema, but ask the Gemara, yes, the woman who's being killed is already being punished seriously by being killed. But shouldn't we also leva batati? Why don't we do both? That we should both kill her and undress her in order to that she should really get the lesson, and that the people around here should learn the lesson. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuha, Amar Kra, V'haftal Re'acha Kamoicha. The Torah teaches us V'haftal Re'acha Kamoicha, to teach us Beror Loi Misi Yofa. Treat her, when you kill somebody, Beror Loi Misi Yofa, don't do it in a gruesome manner. And there are many explanations how we learn from V'haftal Re'acha Kamoicha from the way we kill a person. Taisa says that the Pasuk of L'haftal Re'acha Kamoicha can't be talking about people who are alive, because the halacha is chayecha koidmin l'chayech havercha. We first have to take care of ourselves before we take care of the next person. However, when it comes to death, there we're killing this person, not killing ourselves. Rashi gives another explanation. We know that the famous statement of Rabbi Kiva on the pasuk of ahaftal reach kamacha, mashalok sani l'chavrech loisavet. What you dislike, don't do to somebody else. So, says Rashi, that the pasuk says, loisik of loisita, we shouldn't take revenge, we shouldn't hold a grudge, v'haftal recha. There, says Rashi, makes sense when we're killing a person, but when we're keeping him alive, then we have to take care of ourselves first. The Ramban says that if we think about it, v'haftal recha, Kamaicha is a difficult mitzvah, is virtually an impossible mitzvah. How could we say that we have to think about somebody else, love somebody else more than we love ourselves? Is that at all a possibility? So therefore, says the Ramban, we can't say it means to love a person exactly like we love ourselves and treat him exactly like we treat ourselves. Rather, what it means is Brar loy misa yafa. Just like we don't want to be killed, and if we were killed, we want it to be in the most non-terrible method. Here too, it should be the same way. Lema, says the Gemara, perhaps this issue that we're discussing is a machloikus tanoim. The Rav Nachman that just taught us, Barar loy misa yofa, is actually machloikus tanoim. Because, says the Gemara, because the Rabbanan who say that we may not, that we should not undress her when we kill her with stoning, agree with Rav Nachman. Rav Yehuda, who says that we do, obviously doesn't agree with Rav Nachman. So the Gemara is suggesting that the machloikis, this Rav Nachman's point that he just made, is actually machloikis tanoim. Says Marloi, it could be the kula amas l'der Rav Nachman, everybody agrees with Rav Nachman. What is the machloikis? A person would rather die quickly. And therefore, even though they're getting embarrassed, Rabbi Yehuda holds, by being undressed, but since there's no clothing, she'll die, the person will die quicker. And therefore, the Rabbanan hold that we're more concerned for the embarrassment, and therefore don't undress her, even though it will delay her death, the death. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we want to get the person to pass away as quickly as possible. We learned further in the Mishnah. If she was wearing white clothing, now we put on black clothing. Tana, imhaya, but learns the Brisa, imhaya, the godim shcharim naim loy, if she looks better in black clothing, so then, obviously don't let her wear clothing to make her look good. Mechassan oisoy, the godim shcharim, we put on her clothing to make her look bad. We learned further, haya la klizov, she was wearing jewelry, we removed for her. Ask the Gemara, why did the Mishnah have to teach us that halacha? Pshita, hashta nevuli menavala. If we're learning now that we do all sorts of things that make her look disgusting, so certainly, hani mibayu, are we going to let her wear jewelry? Answers the Gemara, madatam bahani is the bezyana tvei. Maybe actually allowing her to wear her jewelry will be more embarrassing. Kedami inshi, shliach atifel, Sai Masani, if you have a person who's not wearing any clothing and he's wearing shoes or jewelry, it's actually be embarrassing. Jewelry, nice shoes, are a nice complement to nice clothing, but not if you're not wearing any clothing. And maybe therefore we would think we should leave the jewelry on, Kamash Malon, that we don't. We learned further in the Mishnah of Achkach, maybe Chevel Mitzri, we bring this rope and we tie it above her breast, and ask the Gemara, what is the halacha? Is it absolutely essential or not? Is the reason that we don't want all of the clothing to fall down, and therefore anything that will serve as a way to keep our clothing up will be acceptable? We're going to learn the Gemara, which speaks about the whole concept of mida kenegan mida in the procedure of the soita. She put on a nice belt to attract the man. Therefore, we specifically want to do it because of the mida kenegan mida and it's me'akev. And therefore, it must be done under all circumstances. Answers the Gemara, Amalei to Nesua, the Mishnah on Dav Zayin and Beis teaches us, v'achkach mevi chevel ha-mitzri, we bring this rope, the kosher al malam dedea, and the Mishnah was very explicit. The reason was the kedei shlo yishmetu begedem alea. The reason it's done is that her clothing shouldn't fall off. That's the only reason. Then we said the kolaroitz liris by yira. Anybody who wants to come see what's happening here should come. Ask the Gemara hagufakasha. I'm with kolaroitz liris by roya. I'm no loishna gavri loishna nashi. It doesn't make a difference, men or women should come and witness what's happening. But then the Mishnah said, which seems to be Noshim in, only women, Anoshim loy, but not men. Answers the Gemara Amar Abai, Tergma Anoshim. Abai explains that the Mishnah who says, is only speaking about women. But indeed, men should not come to see, because the men should not come to see, because it will cause them to think what they're not supposed to think. So the Achronim, the Sfasemis asks, our Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, taught us that her slaves may not come, shlo yiliba gaspehen, but her slaves are people who are men. And we're learning now, according to Abaya, men aren't allowed to come anyway. So the Sfasemis says that the Mishnah is teaching us that even though we would think, even though the halacha, as we're learning now, is the men may not come, we would think that avodim could come, because it's a whole different relationship. Teaches us the Mishnah, indeed, there is a different relationship with avodim, and that different relationship causes us to say that the avodim shouldn't be. Amalei Rava. But Rava asks on Abaya's teretz, didn't the Mishnah say, kol ha-roitz l'spoi k'toni? And it's hard to explain that the Mishnah is only referring to women. Elam Rava. Kol ha-roitz l'spoi roya. Anybody who wants to come and see what's happening, Loishna Gavri Vloishna Nashi, whether men or women may come. The Nashim, but women, Chayom L'Roisai. Men, if they're there, they're there. And women must see her, must be there. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Cheskel, V'nevasu kol ha-Nashim V'loi Sasena Kizmaskam, that they should cause, that the women should learn not to behave in an immoral manner. Says the Mishnah. The midah she'adam moided, the way a person behaves, ba'am moided in Allah. The way the she'adam moided, ba'am moided in Allah. That's the way he's treated. And that's the basis for everything we do with the Saita. He kashed this atma lavera. She beautified herself, nice clothing, nice jewelry. So the procedure of the Saita requires that a makam nivla, as we learned, that that she has to be made to look terrible. He galsas atzma lavera. She revealed herself. She went in the public, and she was in a place that she wasn't supposed to be, to do the wrong thing. Therefore, makam gila aleh, the Torah says that we should take this entire procedure of the site to do it publicly. Yerech is chila b'avera. She uncovered her thighs to do the avera. And then vakach abetan lefikach tilka yerech tchila. When she's punished, if she's indeed guilty, the pasuk says the first the yerech gets punished vakach abetan. As the pasuk says, b'seis Hashem as yirechech nefeles v'zbitnech tzoviv v'shar kol aguf. But even though since the entire body had pleasure from this avera, that's why loy polat, they're not saved, and ultimately the entire body suffers, the entire body will suffer from this avera. The Kedushas Levi says, the Pasuk says, Shaiftim v'shaitrim titl chabuchal sharecha v'shaftu esa'am mishpat tzedek. He says that mitzvah Hashem, that when Mashiach comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge us. And we're going to all need that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as he judges us then, should come with the Midas HaRachmanis. But the question is, how will we be Zoicha, says the Kedushas Levi, that we should be judged with the Midas HaRachmanis? So he says that if a person lived his life with Rachmanis, he treated people with Rachmanis, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat him with Rachmanis. Shoifte v'shoitrim titlcha b'chol sharecha. If everything what you do is done with a mishpat tzedek, then the mida k'neged mida will be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat you as well with the midas hachesed. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Avgav the mida batla, even though there is no longer any arba mises bezdin, b'mida, that the actual Mises, Abba Mises Bezdin no longer exists, still b'mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still looks at us and judges us accordingly. What does that mean? Dabar Rav Yosef v'chein Tanar Rav Chiya, m'yayim shachar Beis HaMikdash, from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Abbi Shabbat L'Sanhedrin, even though the Sanhedrin no longer is in session, still Abba Mises Le'batlu. The Abba Mises are not finished. Ask the Gemara, how could you say so? for Batlu. There is no Sanhedrin that administers the Abba Mises Bezdin. El Abba did Abba Mises le Batlu. What happens is still there. Mishin is chayv skila. If somebody did an aver for which there is skila, I neifel him in a gag, or either he'll fall off the roof, I chayv darsosai, which is what happened when somebody had skila, that they threw him off the roof, or he was trampled. Me shne schayv sreifa, somebody schayv sreifa, I neifel b'deleika, or he'll die in a fire, I nachash mekish, or he'll be bitten by a snake, and the venom of the snake will burn him up. Mishnah Schaif Chariga, somebody was Chayiv the decapitation, or Nimsul Malchus, or he's going to be killed by the government, and their mode of killing in those times was by decapitation, or Listen Bar Malov, and they kill him with their swords. Mishnah Schaif Chanika, somebody was Chayiv to die by choking, or Tove Benar, or he'll drown, or Mace Besurchani, which is a type of disease that causes choking. So Rashi explains that the Mishnah just taught us the midah, that the midah keneged midah is here, and that's why Rabbi Yosef comes to teach us that this example that we just learned about the Abba Mises Bezdin is the perfect example of the midah keneged midah. The Gemara said the miyoyim shachar beis hamikdash, the Abba Mises, the Bezdin no longer administers the Dal Mises Bezdin. So Tosfos asks, the Gemara says that already, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph already says that 40 years before the Churban HaBayis, the Sanhedrin stopped giving Mises Bezdin. So why does it say Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash? So Tosfos answers that at certain times they did go back during those 40 years to give a sentence on Mises Bezdin. But now, it never happens. Ritva says that they never went back. He says, but what happened was that they had the possibility of going back. But now, where we no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't even have that possibility. The Shita explains what the Gemara means is that since it was 40 years, 40 years is a small amount of time before the Churban HaBayis, that's why it's considered Miyom Shachar Bayis. So Tosfos asks, don't we see many Rishoyim who have done terrible Averis, and certainly a Chayiv Mises Bezdin, they die on the bed? So Tosfos says that if they do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be kind to them, and even though they deserve this type of death, they won't necessarily die that way. Dan Eliyahu says that this Gemara is only applicable when Klai Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, and it's not in the time like when we're in Golos. Tosfos asks that the Gemara says, Mishnah Eschayib Skila, Oynoifim and Agag Ochai Der Sosai. So Tosfos asks that the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, that Pei Gimel Mebeis teaches us that there was somebody who had relations with a Nara Marasa, and he was hung. But we know that the chi of Misa for somebody who has relations with a Nar of Marasa is Skila. Why did he get Chenek? So Tosfos answers that if we learn that story, that girl was not a Psula. This man's son had relations with her first, and if she's a Bu'ula, then the halach is that her Misa is not Skila, the Misa is Chenek. But then Tosfos in Sanhedrin asks this question. He says that this person had schusim, and because he had schusim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu downgraded that he didn't die with skil, he died with chenek. The Ritva answers that he might have done an avera for which he was chayiv chenek first, and since he was chayiv chenek first, that's why he was already chayiv chenek, and that's why he got punished with that first. The Sfarim ask that we say that somebody who Rachman Slan's Chayiv Sreifa is either bitten by a snake whose venom enters that person's body, and that's like the fire. But getting burnt in a fire is not the way Sreifa was administered in Bezdin. Sreifa was administered in Bezdin by pouring hot lead into the person's body, not burning him from outside. So the Sefer Michas Chareva says that the point is that the of our Gemara is that indeed he'll be burnt, but not be burnt in the regular way we think of burning. He'll be burnt from inside. The Gemara in Masechta Makos, Daf Yoreh Mabeis tells us that somebody who kills somebody b'mezid without ha'edim and asra, and then you have another person who killed somebody b'shogig, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings them to the same place. The person who killed b'mezid sits below the ladder. The person who killed b'shogig goes up the ladder and falls down and kills the person on the bottom. But as Tosfos, that's the person who's a murderer is Chayiv Sayif. And the Gemara over there says he's getting skila. So Tosfos answers that indeed this is also a form of Misav Sayif. The Chassam Sofer was asked a question. We're learning that the various different ways people leave the world correspond to the type of Misa that they were Chayiv. Some Sofer was asked, we know that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin teaches us that a person who was killed with Mises Bezdin was not buried together with other people. So the question was, the question that was asked to the Chassam Sofer, if somebody died in one of the manners, in one of the ways that the Gemara just described, is that a proof that this person is a Rasha? And since it's a proof that this person is a Rasha, he should not be buried in the cemetery with everybody else? Or he died this way, but it isn't necessarily conclusive proof that he's a Rasha. Says the Chassam Sofer, that even though our Gemara just taught us this important lesson that a person's chayiv mises is killed in this will die in this fashion, it isn't that it must be that way. And therefore, since it doesn't have to be necessarily that way, says the Chassam Sofer, we could bury him in the regular cemetery. The Sefer Kedushas Yontif explains our Gemara that says, B'midash Adam Moided in Law, the Chazal teaches, Kol Merachem Al Abriyas, Merachem Alav Meshamayim. So he says, the Pasuk says, Hashem Tzulcha Al Yad Yiminecha. What does that mean? Says the Kedushas Yontif. Hashem Tzulcha, Hashem is like a shadow. Whatever we do, our shadow does what we're doing. So that's why, what it means when it says, B'midash Adam Moided in Law, the way we behave in this world, if we will ask, we will give tzedakah, and we will be kind, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in kind the same way with us. And if we will be generous and we will be kind, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be generous and kind with us.